Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll read verses 23 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. Hebrews 12, verses 23 through 26. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us in this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Lord, we know without a doubt that you've directed our preacher specifically this morning for this truth for our church. Lord, may we be receptive to it. May we realize it is a message from you from heaven to us. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so we could do more to serve you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to use a passage of Scripture. That passage of Scripture will catapult us into the sermon of the day. The sermon this morning is somewhat a doctrinal sermon, but not only is it doctrinal, sometimes people hear the term doctrine or doctrinal and they immediately think that it will be dry and boring, and I don't think that will be the case whatsoever, because I truly believe that the doctrines of the Bible were intended to be practical so that we might live them. We are not to just absorb the doctrines of the Bible to make us head knowledgeable, but we're to have a knowledge that expands into our lives. The Bible is not just a book to be known. God is a God that we are to know, and we are to live what we know. And so, we're going to talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the reasons why I feel so strongly about it, I think there are people in our church that needed a little extra boost, maybe a little extra boost of courage right now, maybe a little extra boost of confidence. And I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about a confidence. There's a certain confidence that we can have as Christians. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. Folks, we don't have to be down and out. We could be up and alive. If you're a born-again Christian, you've got an awful lot going for you. And may I say, this thing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a powerful, overcoming ingredient that we have available to us in the Christian life. It's not something that we want to ignore. It's almost like yesterday, I think it was, in the men's pastoral staff meeting, we were talking about the subject of fuel prices, and we've been shopping around trying to figure out where we can buy fuel for our church buses and get it done a little cheaper and get it done right. And we were just kicking around some ideas, and Brother Young is a pilot. He has a commercial pilot's license, and he is a pilot. He flies planes, and he said, in the midst of the conversation, he talked about jet fuel. And when I think of jet fuel, I think of something a little more powerful than the gasoline that we buy at the gas tank or up at the gas station. Now, let me say this. There are some topics in the Christian life that are just like that regular gasoline that you buy in your car. There are other topics that are like jet fuel. And this morning, the topic of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's jet fuel. That's that kind of stuff that they pump into the March race cars at the Indy 500 to get you the extra oomph to make it happen. And so the thing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has something to do with the energy of that catapults us to victory and catapults us to new heights and causes us to go forward and to do it in a powerful way. And so may I remind you that we have in the Christian life a powerful overcoming ingredient, and that ingredient is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing many songs that remind us of the blood of Christ. Well, let me say this before I remind you of a couple of the songs. The verse that we read earlier from Hebrews chapter 12, we're told, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh my, we ought to speak of the blood, and the blood speaks for us. That's the name of the sermon this morning. It's called Speaking Blood. But we sing about this blood. What's the big deal about the blood? We sing the song, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That word Emmanuel there means God with us. Jesus was God come in the flesh. The blood that was in Jesus Christ was God's blood. Jesus was the Son of God. Mary was a virgin. She found herself with child. You check the bloodline, you go to daddy, and it is daddy that passes on the blood to the child. If you check the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out. You say, what was his blood type? Was it A? Was it AB? Was it O? Was it positive? Was it negative? Well, it was perfect. It was the blood of God. In Jesus Christ flowed the blood of God. He was God's Son, God come in the flesh. So we sing the song, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And those guilty sinners that are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. You know, those type songs ought never be done away with in the New Testament church. The blood, one of the motivating forces behind the New Testament church. I love the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What an important song. We sing the song, there is power, wonder-working power. Where? In the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We sang the song, When I See the Blood, or what was the song we sang in the congregation, Brother Nash? It's still the blood. Hey, let me tell you something. It is still the blood. We want to get all these modern beliefs in the church. You know, the Bible's not changing, and it is still the blood that's going to save us. We don't need a modern religion. We just need the old blood. We need to go back to that blood of Jesus Christ. The song, When I See the Blood, I will pass over you. Oh, it's about the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing the song, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. Hey, that's how we're saved. How? By blood. The blood of the crucified one. The blood is pictured throughout the Old Testament. As you go through the Old Testament, you'll see that there were sacrifices set up. Many of you have heard about them. Some you may not know the significance of all of them, but the significance is really quite simple. You see, the blood that was shed in sacrifices, whether it be a turtle dove or a lamb or an ox or whatever it was, when blood was shed in the Old Testament, what was happening, they were looking forward to, it was a picture of the blood that would be shed in the future by Jesus Christ. So that all that blood that was shed was looking forward to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shedding God's blood on the cross of Calvary. So in the Old Testament, they looked forward to the blood. At the time of Jesus Christ, they got to look right at Jesus. Some of them, can you imagine, there were people that saw the blood with their own eyes. They seen on Calvary that blood that had been pictured all the way through the Old Testament. There were some that actually got to see the blood. Wow, that's incredible to me. So you have the Old Testament people that looked forward to the blood being shed. You had those that were alive at the time of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that got to look at the shedding of blood. You and I have the privilege of looking back at the shedding of that blood. And let me give you some other good news. That blood that was shed, when it was shed, it didn't just fall into the ground and dry up and go away. No, it was taken to heaven. It was put on a heavenly mercy seat, which pictured the Old Testament mercy seat. That blood is still there in heaven today. The blood of Jesus Christ was taken to heaven, and that blood is there as a testimony, reminding God, everybody in heaven, that the blood of God was shed for us sinners so that we could be saved. Here's the good news. They looked forward to blood in the shedding of the blood in the Old Testament. At the time of Jesus Christ, they looked at the blood. You and I right now look back at the blood, but one of these days, we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven, and you're going to get to see the blood of Jesus Christ. It's alive and it's there right now. That blood is there. So, I didn't get to be there the day Jesus was crucified, but I'll tell you this, one of these days, I'm going to go to heaven, and don't you worry. You see, the only ones that got to see the blood were John and Mary and some of those that was hanging around the day of the crucifixion. What you mean to say is, so far the only ones that got to see the blood, because when we get to heaven, you and I will get to see that blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I've sang about it. I've preached about it. I've told stories about it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get to see the blood that was shed. I'm going to get to see the blood that made heaven possible. You know, if you go all the way back in the beginning when Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were around, God was trying to teach that family and those people the importance of blood. And God said to Adam and Eve, said that, stay out of trouble. They got into trouble. And what God had to do, they were naked but did not know it. When they sinned, God ended up covering their bodies with the carcass of or the skins of animals. To do that, see, understanding, they sinned. And because they sinned, they knew where they were naked. So God made them animal skins to cover their nakedness. What was it a picture of? Well, an animal was slain to cover their sin. Blood had to be shed. You go further into the story, and you see Cain and Abel. God had said to Cain and Abel, I want you boys to bring a sacrifice to me. You're to bring a sacrifice of your flocks or of your herds, meaning their blood would be shed. We all know Cain chose not to do it God's way. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. I don't know what that meant. Maybe he brought of vegetables. Maybe he brought some fruit, tried to get that as a sacrifice to God. And the Bible teaches that God was wroth. God was mad about that. Why? God knew that Cain was missing the whole point. That blood in that sacrifice was to exalt God's Son, Jesus Christ, someday. Cain was choosing not to do that. Cain was trying to figure out, maybe he was, whether he realized it or not, Cain was showing a part of religion that God never wanted there. Hey, all salvation was going to be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, his brother Abel, when he brought a sacrifice to God, Abel brought a sacrifice of the blood of one of his animals. And God was pleased with that sacrifice. Why? Because the blood, all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve, was being taught. And the blood, all the way back to the time of Cain and Abel, was being taught. John 1:29 then, you see, Jesus comes on the scene, and John says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now you're at the New Testament, and John the Baptist says when Jesus comes on the scene publicly, John the Baptist says, Hey, see that guy right there? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world. What was he saying? He was saying, John the Baptist was saying, everybody, 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 look at me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Every sacrifice that was given all the way from the day that an animal was slain to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, from the day that Cain and Abel chose a sacrifice, every turtle dove, every ox, every lamb, every piece of blood that was sprinkled, every bit of blood from the Old Testament, here, He is the real Lamb has arrived. And it was talking about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, let me tell you something. In the last 10, 20 years, in what we'll call religion, they're almost trying to phase the blood out. You know what they say? They say, that's gory. Indeed, the death of Jesus Christ was gory. Sure it was. Oh, talking about blood in church, that's inappropriate. No, it's very appropriate. All the blood that you pump into your household through Hollywood, now that might be inappropriate, but the blood of Jesus Christ is very appropriate. Oh, and that blood, what powerful blood. You go back to the story of Cain killing his brother Abel. Cain kills his brother Abel and leaves him in a field. Cain goes home to mom and dad and get in a conversation with Adam and Eve. And God talks to Abel, or God talks to Cain. Listen to what God said. God asked where, God says to Cain, he says, Cain, where's your brother Abel? Or remember, he had just killed him. Listen, the Bible says, and he said, what hast thou done? This is God talking. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Wow. Do you realize the Bible says right there that when Cain slew Abel, God said to Cain, what have you done? And Cain is a little dumbfounded. Cain knows he just killed his brother. And God said, Cain, I hear your brother's blood. It's crying to me from the ground. Somehow there, the Bible teaches that God can hear the cry of blood. God can hear the cry of blood. Then we go to the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 24, it says this, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Yeah, that day, that blood from the ground when Cain slew Abel, that blood spoke up. But let me tell you something. The Bible says here that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks louder than any blood that's ever been shed. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks? Oh, yes, it does. And you can be glad it does. Everybody here that is born again, you can be glad that the blood of Jesus Christ speaketh. He said, brother, oh, it's what in the world does it say? It speaks up on your behalf. You see, you were a sinner and you deserved to die and go to hell. And somebody perfect had to die and pay your sin debt. And the only perfect one was Jesus Christ, who just happened to have in him the blood of God. And when Jesus Christ died for you, his blood was shed for you. Now the blood of Jesus Christ steps up. And if you've asked him to save you, that blood steps up and speaks on your behalf. When God comes along and says, you deserve to die and go to hell, the blood of Jesus Christ steps up and says, they don't have to go to hell. They've been saved by the blood. And that blood speaketh. And that blood is very confident. And that blood is very, very powerful. You see, we have salvation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. That word justified, listen, there's kind of two righteousnesses in the Bible, if you will. There is imputed righteousness, which actually means a righteousness that is placed on your account from somebody else. And then there is a personal righteousness. When you get saved, you take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks at a saved person, he sees you as being a very clean, very wholesome, very white in stature or white in standing kind of a person. Why? You've had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you. You take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a personal righteousness. After we get saved, we're supposed to live right. But you are, you've heard someone talk about being justified. I think one of the best ways in the world to describe being justified, it is just as if you have never sinned. You see, when you get saved, we sing the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. The Bible's teaching, when you get saved, that blood justifies you just as if you had never sinned. You say, well, what do I get out of that? The Bible says here, you are saved from the wrath to come. Because you're saved, you don't have to die and go to hell. Oh, that what a blessing. The blood of Jesus Christ makes it so you can be saved and you don't have to go through hell. You are going to be saved from the wrath to come. The blood of Jesus Christ is a key ingredient to what goes on around the church and what goes on in a Christian's life. We have salvation because of the blood. And it was not the blood of bulls and goats. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have forgiveness because of blood. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now, not only did the blood of Jesus Christ make it so that you and I could be saved and we don't have to go to hell. I love it. We are not only saved, but we are forgiven. We get to be forgiven. It talks about the forgiveness of sins as a result of the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, what sins, Brother Owens? The sins of your past. Well, I am so glad that I can be forgiven of the sins in my past. But wait a minute. Not only that, you can be forgiven of your sins of now. But not only that, you can be forgiven of your sins of the future. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ covers the whole shoot match from the beginning of you to the end of you. The blood of Jesus Christ is and was powerful enough to cover all your sins. We have forgiveness of sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Past sins, current sins, future sins. Hey, we're talking about the Bible says that when God saves you, he forgives you, he places your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that's a long, long way. If you get an airplane and you start flying east, you fly east as far as east and east and east and east and east you can go. You want to turn that baby around and then fly west, and you fly as far west as west as west as west can go, you're going to run out of fuel. Of course, that's not hard today. You can run out of fuel in a couple minutes. But you're going to run out of fuel. You're never going to get as far as east is from west. It is too far. And God said, I am going to put your sins as far as the east is from the west. God said, I'm going to put your sins in the deepest sea. God said, I'm going to put your sins behind my back. Brother Doss, you come up here. I'm going to be God. You're going to be sin. This is excellent role model playing here. Your sin, I'm God. God said, I'm going to put your sins behind my back, which means this. If God puts your sins behind his back, they stay behind his back. So no matter where God goes, the sins can't be seen. I mean, they're back there, but wait a minute. They're behind his back. He can see them no more. And Brother Doss, if you weren't so wide, I wouldn't see you from my peripheral vision. Thank you, Brother Doss. You're a good sinner. Hey, we have salvation. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we have salvation, we get forgiveness. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of the past sin. Forgiveness of the current sin. Forgiveness of the future sin. Sin that is placed as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because of the blood. Sin that is placed behind God's back. Hey, why? So that as a result of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, sin that is put, the Bible said, God said, I will remember them no more. I will remember them no more. God gets amnesia about your sin. You say, wait a minute. How can God do that? If God's God, how can he forget our sin? You're looking at it all wrong. If God's God, he can choose to do what he wants. And he chose to forget your sin. That deepest sea, I don't want to go there. You know, if I got me some scuba gear, some of them air tanks and some flippers, whatever those dudes are you put on your feet, I wouldn't mind swimming around a little bit. Now, I'm not real fond of sharks. I don't fly overseas to go and preach because I'm afraid if my plane crashes, I'll get eaten by Jaws. Or his brother, Jaws 2, or the Return of Jaws. I don't want any one of the three of them to eat me. Last time I said that, my wife for 2 weeks afterwards sang to me everywhere we went, baby sharks, do, 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 do. Shut up, woman. At least I'm not afraid of mice. There's a big difference in it.
But if I ever got a chance to go to the sea, there's one part of the sea I don't really want to visit. I don't want to go to the deepest part of the sea. You want to know why? That's where my sin is. I got away from it a long time ago. I don't want to visit it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be around it. I thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gave me forgiveness, and I don't have to deal with that sin from my past. We have eternal, the Bible says, redemption because of the blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know something? If you've never heard it taught, the Bible's very, very clear on it. Once that blood saves you, you're always saved. The blood is not diluted. The blood does not fail you. Once you're saved, you're always saved. When you come to the point where you realize you're a sinner and there's a penalty for your sin, and Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial and resurrection, and you turn to him, you ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, the very moment the Holy Spirit of God moves into you and you have received him and you receive God and Jesus Christ, you receive them as Savior into your life, you're saved, signed, sealed, delivered, it's all taken care of. You won't lose that. The Bible teaches there's a thing called the Lamb's Book of Life. Hear that, Lamb? Why? Because that Lamb's Book of Life refers to what John 1:29 said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. It refers all the way back into the Old Testament when they were using lambs to teach the blood or to be reminded of a blood that would soon come through Jesus Christ. They call it the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? When somebody gets saved, God writes their name down. Everybody has a park. They have a place for their name to go in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible says when you get saved, God pulls out a pen and he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, I've got good news for you. I've looked all the way through the Bible and I can't see any place where God has an eraser. Nor do I see any place where God uses whiteout. The Bible teaches that you are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved. It is a gift. You don't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't get baptized to get it. You can't do good deeds to get it. It is a gift from God. You say, what's the gift? That gift was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't beat it. You couldn't pay it. Your blood was tainted blood, sinful blood. The blood of Jesus Christ came from the bloodline of God, and that blood was perfect, holy blood, and when you got saved, you were saved eternally. Eternally. The Bible says, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Now listen, you say, but wonder if you get saved and you do wrong. Well, let me tell you what happens. If you get saved and you do wrong, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose blessing. If you get saved and do right, there are many, many blessings in life that you can have. If you get saved and you do wrong, there are many things that you will not be blessed at in life. But you may lose God's blessing, but once you're saved, you'll never lose your salvation. It is secured. It is an eternal redemption that came by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, not only that, we have boldness because of the blood. We have a boldness to approach God's throne in prayer because of blood. You see, we have salvation. Why? Because of the blood. We have forgiveness. Why? Because of the blood. We have eternal security or eternal redemption. Why? Because of the blood. Now we have boldness to approach God's throne in prayer because of blood. Listen to this verse. Two verses. Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let me explain something. We have the right, because the veil was rent in twain. I don't have time to teach it all this morning. Some of you that are you're in this church month in and month out, I taught a whole lesson on the veil being rent in twain. But the Bible teaches because that veil was written twain, you and I can go straight to God. You don't need someone to be a mediator between, we've got Jesus Christ, we don't need some man. There's some people that think, well, you go down to the church and you let some man help you get to God. No, you can get to God without some man. You don't need any man to get to God. You have direct access to God in prayer. You can go directly to God. Why can you go directly to God? The Bible says here, because of the blood that was shed. You have boldness to approach the very throne of God because of the blood. You see, you can call on God. And when you call on God, let me promise you something. You're not going to get call waiting. When you call on God, you're not going to get an answering machine. When you call on God, you're not going to get a busy signal. When you call on God, you're going to get through every time. Hey, when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and your heart is broken and you don't know who to call, you don't know what to do, you say, Brother Owens, when can I call on God? At 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, the minute you go to your knees, you're in the presence of God, you're at the throne of God, you're at the very feet of God. You don't need to be at the church to get a hold of God. You don't have to be on the church property to get a hold of God. Hey, what a wonderful thing. Why? The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ makes it so that you can have direct access to God. You can get to God at 3 in the morning. You can get to God at 4 in the morning. You can get to God at 5 in the morning. You can get to God at midnight. You can get to God at any time. Hey, you can get to God right after you get up at 12 noon. But you can get to God when? Anytime. You can get to God anytime. How do you have that direct access to God? The blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can go directly to God. Now I'll tell you something. There are times when I have prayer requests, and I may bring it to you. I may bring it to somebody on the staff. I may take it to my dad and say, Dad, pray. But I want to tell you something. If I can't get anybody, if I can't get a human being, if there's no man that understands or no woman that understands or no leader that understands, I can go straight to God. And so can you. You can go to God. You can go to God any time of the day. Any day of the week. So I came to church today, Brother Owens, to pray. Did you know something? You can pray on Sunday. You can pray on Monday. You can pray on Tuesday. You can pray on Wednesday. You can pray on Thursday. You can pray on Friday. You can pray on Saturday. And then again on Sunday. Hey, God can hear your prayer anytime. Any time of the day, any day of the week, any month out of the year. He can hear you in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. And he can start all over again. God can hear you every day, every day, every day. 365 days a year. And he's got you covered on leap year. He's got you covered. All day, every day, all times. Hey, and anywhere. God can hear you pray anywhere. Why? Why do we have that access to God? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says here. In other words, you can pray at church. Yes, you can. You can. But it doesn't have to be here at church. It could be at home. It doesn't have to be at home. It could be at work. It doesn't have to be at work. It could be down at Dunkin' Donuts getting a cup of coffee and an apple fritter. I started vacation this morning. I had coffee and apple fritter for breakfast. I've been saving up calories for weeks. For 2 weeks, I'm going to exercise the forgiveness of God in regard to gluttony. Oh, but let me say to you, no matter where you're at, you could call upon God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When we sing that it's still the blood, there are so many things that the blood still is. You say, what is it? The blood, it still is the way that you got saved for your salvation. It still is good for your forgiveness. It still is an eternal salvation. It still is the way that you can approach God with boldness. Not only that, we are overcomers. Why? Because of the blood. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Now listen to me, folks. I realize something. Our adversary, the devil, he's powerful. He's sharp. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I realize he's tough. And I realize he's shrewd. And I realize he's powerful. And I realize he's very tempting. But let me tell you something. We can overcome. We can overcome. We can win. We can keep on going. We can win the battle and win the victory. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. You see, we overcame the devil's plan to take us to hell. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And we can overcome in life. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome that past that haunts you. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome that sin that pulls you down. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome that guilt that causes you to toss and turn at night. You say, how do I do that? You go back to the thing called the forgiveness of God that was made available through the blood of Jesus Christ. You claim it and say, God forgave me. It's under the blood. It's washed away. And go on in your life. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome that vice in your life. Whatever it is, you say, how? I need something extra powerful. I need some extra energy. I need some rocket fuel. Try the blood of the Lamb. Try the blood of the Lamb. You've got that. The Bible says here that we are overcomers. Why? The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. There is a fountain filled with blood, powerful blood. There's power, power, wonder working power. You hear that? Wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. But not only that, not are we just overcomers, but we can have peace through the blood. Peace. I'll tell you something. You can see why I say the blood is one of the ingredients of the Christian life that is so necessary. It can energize us. It can pump up our spiritual confidence. It can cause us to realize that we can do what God needs us to do. God didn't leave us to take care of everything by ourselves. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the energy that has been purchased through the blood that was shed. We can have peace because of the blood. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now here it's talking about making peace with God, about our standing with him in regard to salvation. But may I add to you, we also can have peace in our lives. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. When you get to thinking about these benefits, salvation, why? Because of the blood. Forgiveness, why? Because of the blood. Eternal life, why? Because of the blood. Boldness to go to him in prayer, why? Because of the blood. Being an overcomer, why? Because of the blood. That'll give you some peace. That ought to give you some peace. That ought to calm you down. Let me warn you all. The bunch of people, if you're not careful, we get in a little tizzy financially in America. If you're not careful, a bunch of you are going to freak out and panic and make a bunch of bad mistakes in your life. I'm going to do this. I'm going to move there. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to do that. Hey, calm down a little bit. Get a little peace about yourself. We're still saved. We still have the same Savior, the same God, the same Holy Spirit, the same Bible. The world may freak out and panic and do a bunch of stupid stuff, but us Christians say, it's in God's hands. Where's your faith? It's easy to live by faith and talk about it when you don't have to use it. When you got the money in the bank, it's easy to say, well, I got faith. No, you got a bank account. But it's when things get tough and you got to step out and do a little something here or there by faith, that's when it gets tough. But may I say to you that we can have peace because of the blood. Peace in our lives. Hey, there's something, and you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. Did you know if all hell were to cut loose in the economy and our country and everything, you know what the end result would be for me? I'll just die and go to heaven. Yeah. I'll just die and go to heaven. I remember the story of Dr. John R. Rice, and he was walking in between preaching services. Dr. Rice, a great author and the editor of the Sword of the Lord newspaper from years ago, said he was walking down the street one day, and during a walk, a man pulled out a gun, pointed at Dr. Rice's stomach, and said, I'll blow your brains out. Dr. Rice said, first of all, that's not where we keep my brains. And then Dr. Rice said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Criminal took his gun and ran. You know, there's a certain peace that Christians ought to have. Did you know nothing's going to come into your life that God doesn't already know about? And we have peace. Why? If God's Son, if God would shed His own blood for me and you, if He would go through all that, the crucifixion, everything that happened at Calvary, if He would do all that to secure your eternity, don't you think He's going to take care of you tomorrow, Monday? If He can take care of every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, through all eternity, and if you check in the dictionary, eternity's a real long time, baby. And if He would take care of all that, don't you think He can take care of next week? He shed his blood for your whole eternity. Believe me, he's got Monday covered. It'll be okay. We can have peace. Why? Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can get close to God. Why? Because of the blood. Listen to this verse. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Bible's talking about that distance where God's this big pie in the sky God and he's unreachable, he's untouchable. We feel like that God's so far away, but the Bible says because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he's just a prayer away. You don't have to feel like God is unreachable, untouchable. The blood of Jesus Christ made it so you can be. You don't have to feel far away. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood. Well, you were afar off when you were lost. You're made nigh by the blood when you got saved. But when he snuggled up close to you, when you got saved, just so you know, once he moved in you, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The day you got saved, he was on the outside, and you may feel like before then he was a long way away. The day he saved you, he moved inside. He can't get any closer. He's there. It's permanent. Every once in a while, I'll be in my hotel room while I'm traveling and preaching, and I'll flip it on the local religious station. Some guy will come on. They call him Father. He's dressed like a mother. He's got his clothes on upside down and backwards. And I'll hear him refer to God. And he calls him good. Good. You know, I listen to people refer to a God who is a very practical and close God, and they make him seem as if he's very far away, and that bothers me. Oh, no, God is not far away. God is, he is up close. And he can be up close to you. You say, why? The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ made it so God can get close to you and you can get close to God. And just so you know, you say, Brother Owens, I feel a long way away from him. Now, if you're not saved, you're going to feel a long way away from him. Get saved and he'll come right and live inside you. But if you're a Christian and say, I feel a long way away from God, well, maybe you need to find out where you left him. Because I'll promise you this, I don't think he turned and walked away from you. You've taken your eyes off of him. You stop reading your Bible. You stop praying. You stop telling others about Jesus Christ. You stop loving your God and worshiping your God and spending time with your God. You've stopped something along the way because God ain't stopped nothing in regard to your need. You see, we can get close to God. Now, let me give you a couple more and I'm done. We're clean in the eyes of God because of the blood. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We get to be clean. Why? The blood. You see all the benefits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a reason why we need to keep the songs about the blood in our songbook. There's a reason why we should not be ashamed of the blood. We are saved because of the blood. We are forgiven because of the blood. We have eternal security because of the blood. We have boldness in prayer because of the blood. We are overcomers because of the blood. We have peace because of the blood. We can get close to God because of the blood. We can get clean because of the blood. We have the New Testament church. Why? Because of the blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. His blood. Thank God for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Thank God for what God does in this place. Thank God for the movement of God. Thank God for the blessing of God. Thank God for an old-time religion church. But we owe it to the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you need to get saved. You know, we have freedom because of the blood. The Bible says in Zechariah 9:11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. His blood that will give you freedom in your Christian life. The blood. the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. There are some truths in the Bible that seem to be your regular octane gas, which is pretty good. But boy, when I think about the blood, I think of that jet fuel. I think of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I think of that powerful, overcoming ingredient that is made available to you and to me so we can have victory. That blood's not diluted. It's not weakened. It forever speaketh on your behalf and my behalf. It speaketh up and says all those things that I just shared with you.